Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And today is Wednesday, November 27th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 70, reading the third paragraph, which begins with, If We Have Been Thorough. Today's readers are Tamara C. for the 12 Steps, Terry S. for the 12 Traditions, Penny L. C., and Laura W. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, that would be November 26th, is 13717. That's 13717. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for November 27th is 13720. That's 13720. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Tamara C. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Tamara C., recovered in California. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tamara C. And I will now ask Terry S. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Oregon. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Terry S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works, and we're on page 70, reading and commenting on the third paragraph only. And I will ask Penny L.C. to read and get us started.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service. Good morning. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this is the Big Book. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies. For we look on them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct, and we are willing to straighten out the past if we can. So here we are at the end of quite a journey with our inventories. I know for me, it was very impactful. I felt as I gave away all of my fifth step to a sponsor, I felt such a measure of freedom for having said things that I had not said to anyone. And I felt God's Spirit being able to come in and fill my heart in a way that had never been possible before. The blockages and, you know, that I had been carrying had been removed. Was it perfect? No, but it sure was an amazing sense of change and possibility ahead. And yet, yes, there's work to do, no doubt. It talks about here, I've created hurt, I've harmed, I've got things to straighten out. But at this point in time, I can see the level playing field. I can see how I am no better, no worse than anyone else. I'm simply broken, just like everyone else is as well. Not greater than, not less than. That was such a revelation for me, and that's That is the greatest gift, to receive that through doing this work. And I feel so grateful. And every time I do these inventory processes, which has been several times in my recovery process, there's another element that I am experiencing and another freedom that I find. And I just know that it's an ongoing process, not one and done. And there is my 10th step that I can look forward to doing, my 11th step, my nightly inventory, that I can look forward to doing daily to keep it clear, to keep those blockages at a minimum, if not completely gone. And what an amazing journey. And I'm so glad to be on it with all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny Elsie. Appreciate your faithful service. All right. Who would like to comment on what Penny just read, the third paragraph on page 70?
Melanie C.
Melanie C.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. What a quiet line. Who else would like to comment? Anybody?
Dion R.
I'm sorry. I hear somebody. It's a little staticky. I'm not getting a name.
Lisa G.
I heard Sherry KB. Lisa G.
Marilyn.
Joanne.
And Marilyn. And Joanne, I'm going to put you at the beginning of the next lineup. Okay, so I've got Melanie C, Kathleen O, Dion R, Sherry KB, Lisa G, I believe it was, and Marilyn T. And if I made a boo-boo on your name, please let me know when it's your turn to share. So we'll start out with Melanie C, and you'll be followed by Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Melanie.
Thanks, Elaine. Thank you, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon, and just hearing Penny Elsie read this, my heart just sunk with humility and gratitude, because I know where I was at and how locked into believing that I was a victim with a capital B, and someone else was to blame for all of that and needed to pay a high price. And that's what I developed in my life, my entire life, is a mission in which to make people pay the price. And then with doing this work, there was a ton done. There was a lot done, and I've done a few throughout my life. And the first one's quite a journaling process. I put a lot down on paper. It was many, 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 many pages, and that's certainly not what we're instructed to do, but that's what I did in the beginning. And I saw some things about myself that made my heart just drop, that I was capable of doing. How come that came about? What pain spurred that on? And what I did to harden my heart to support anything else that was coming. And then the rest I stuffed down with copious amounts of food over and over and over again, to where I became blinded. I call it a brownout. I couldn't see anything that was true. And I wondered how come I was a square peg in a round hole all of my life. And so here we're making a beginning to be able to come up out of that, to be restored to sanity again, and fit in to be useful and purposeful in this life. And I was stunned, absolutely stunned to see this, that I had set the ball in motion in very specific ways, that I had contributed to that, and actually even set up some other things, and that people never did know how to respond to me, because they never saw an authentic Melanie ever. I was fabricated by walls and walls and walls of fear built up. But when I learned about this, it was somehow oddly empowering, that something that could be so shifted then, and that something could be done about this sort of thing, and that there was a promise that there would be, to know the difference, a serenity prayer to know the difference of what it is that I can take to a higher power. These days, what is marvelous to see happening is that even a speck of it, I know that is a continuation of the brokenness within me, that can be treated with a step, so that I no longer have to put up a wall between you and me ever again, because it never was you. And I don't know exactly what it was, but it was a brokenness for sure. And so even with the first thought, it's the first sniff of a thought that comes through that's negative. God has taught me to capture that immediately and turn it to the right and hand it over and ask immediately that it be removed. And that he's even shifting that now. My first thoughts are not always negative anymore. It's a powerful thing to watch this disease become what it was and what it's going to be in the future of the bypass.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. Appreciate your share. Kathleen O., you are up next, and Dion R. is right after you.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning. This is Kathleen O. Sorry I missed you at the convention. I'm bummed. I think you were there.
Me
and
too.
You.
Yes. I know we didn't connect. Oh, well.
My fellow tap dancer. Okay. So good morning, everyone. It's great to be on the line this morning. And, as Penny mentioned, we're getting to the end of this chapter of how it works. And we're being told that there is a solution to our problems. You know, my eating problem was my main one, I thought, when I came in. But it turned out I had a bunch of other problems, too. And we're given instructions on how to solve our problems. The most challenging question I have to ask myself when I have resentments or problems arise is, what is my part? And that was a real eye-opener to me, because I never thought I was the problem. If I had a problem, you were the problem. I was the victim. I always felt like I was the victim and you were the problem. So for me, it was coming to terms that when I have a problem, I'm ultimately the problem, and I keep that in my brain every day. It's like, I'm having a problem. Okay, what's my part? Because it always comes back to me. So when I did this thorough self-searching, you know, seeing where was I selfish, self-seeking, self-centered, I would find the solution to my problems. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. And for me, that was the root of my troubles and my problems. So the beginning of this chapter states the importance of being honest, of being rigorously honest. And we find the power, we take inventory of resentments and fears. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. Futility is useless. No matter how much I hold on to a resentment and make the other person wrong, which was always my go-to, nothing good is ever going to happen, and nothing good ever did happen. You know, resentments are taking the poison, expecting the other person to die. Well, I was just killing myself. And fatality is death. Resentments destroy our soul. And I always pray every morning that, you know, God remove my resentments, because they destroy my soul. And I don't want that. It's just not worth holding on to, because resentments will always bring me pain and misery. So as this paragraph says, learning tolerance, patience, and goodwill towards everyone, even people whose actions I don't like or don't agree with, that is what I believe we're all created to be. And when I practice those and follow these directions on how it works, that's when I get to experience happiness, joy, and freedom. And with that, I pass. And thank you, and happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yes, thank you very much, Kathleen O. Dion R., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Sherry KB.
Thank you. Thank you, and good morning, all. This is Dion R. I'm very grateful to be on the line. To be truthful, I thought my voice would come up clear by now after drinking some hot water. So I'm not going to say much, but ditto to, oh, my God, I just got chills to hear Penny read and the other two share. It was just like, oh, my God, that's what I was going to say. So I don't need to say anything, but just when for some reason that futility word popped out to me. And, of course, I just looked it up, and it was like, oh, pointless, useless. So, yes, like her Melody say even, you know, it was like, when I have a resentment, I got a prescription. I know what to do. You know, turn it over to talk about it, get it out, admit it to myself, to God, another human being, and remove it. Do the next right thing. And that's whether it's a resentment, a fear, anger, or even a sex problem or a human problem, whatever problem. And it always works. And with that, I'll pass, guys. Thanks for allowing me to share. Have a happy Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you so much, Gian R. You too. Sherry KB, you are up next, and you'll be followed by Lisa G.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and thank you for hosting the gratitude meeting on Sunday. And thank you for your service today and Team Wednesday. This is, you know, if you notice in this paragraph, it talks a lot about beginning. We have begun to. We have begun to learn tolerance. You know, this is the beginning of how I'm going to live my life one day at a time for the rest of my life, to deal with my resentments, which are, I can't afford to have resentments because they have the power to kill me. Not only that in my peace of mind, but it's saying futility and fatality. And, you know, we know what futility is. We've already been told that. And fatality is, we know it's like death, but it's to bring about death or disaster. And so for somebody like me that's a compulsive overeater, it destroys me. And as I go along more and more in this program, I recognize how they have caused me heartache and how I've brought them about by myself, unknowingly, unwillingly, but I have. And so it's telling me here that I learned, well, we have a code that says love, patience, and tolerance is our code. And here it is again, learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all people, even our enemies. And we look at them as sick people. They're spiritually sick like us, because we're all trying to do the best we can. I'm not a fan of the word broken, but I do relate more to wounded. I can look at people in my life and see how wounded they are, and honestly, they're a reflection of me. And, you know, for here, you know, we have a four-step promise here that we have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill, even with our enemies, and look at them as sick people. That is a promise if we do this work. And this does solve our problem, and it continues with God's help for me to see how harmful me holding on to a grudge or a resentment has caused me so much more problems than it was worth. That's what I have learned, and I continue to work on this because, you know, resentment means to re-injure. And so every time I tell myself a story about something, it just builds, and that's dangerous for somebody like me who has to look at the emotional buildup in my life. And, you know, expectations are a big one for me, a real big one for me. And, you know, we've heard that, you know, that resentments are like taking poison and expecting somebody else to die. Well, expectations are premeditated resentments. And with that, I pass. Thank you. Happy holidays, everybody, and happy Thursday tomorrow. And thank you. So grateful.
Thank you, Sherry KD. Yes, eat like it's a Thursday. okay, so Lisa G., you are up next, and you are followed by Marilyn T., who will be our last share for this round, and we'll be taking more shares on page 70, paragraph 3. So Lisa G., please go ahead.
Thanks, Elaine. Hi, everybody. This is Lisa G. from Texas. And, the shares have been so amazing, and I've been listening so hard that I can't exactly remember what it was I wanted to say about this paragraph. But, writing down resentments and then thinking about them and really giving them a lot of thought so that I could see my part. It took a long time for me to see my part, years and years and years and years. And I used to like to hold on to resentment for that long. And I didn't realize that's what I was doing. I just knew that you were wrong and I was right. And you needed to change. And you needed to do what I wanted you to do. And you needed to apologize to me and pay me back for all the crappy things you'd done to me. And, you know, when I'm in that state of mind, I can't see my part. Because I have no part, because I'm perfect. I do everything right. And this was a real blow. This whole process is an ego deflation. And, you know, if you would have told me that at the very beginning of me getting into 12-step programs, I would have been like, what are you talking about? I need to have a strong ego. I need to have a good sense of self, a good positive sense of self. But it gets warped out in my addictive mind to being the director and the owner of the show and God. And, you know, for people like me who are addict, I mean, I'm an addict through and through. Food was my biggest addiction, but, you know, there were drugs, shopping, and but food was the longest and the most painful. And you know, to look at what I've done wrong and to look at my part, and then to be in acceptance of any person, place, or thing. And you know, there's a chapter back here in the big book about that man and his wife. And it was just a shock to find out that I was the one that was perpetuating my own misery. And anyways, it's very painful. But then when you come out of the painful part and just knowing that this is what I can do to rid myself of this pain, you know, like look at my part, straighten up the past, do the best I can at straightening up the past, and then doing 10 steps and getting rid of those disgusting feelings that I have as fast as I can. And it has helped me so much. I mean, it never ends. Thank you. Yes, I'm done, Elaine. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa G. Marilyn T. is up next, and I think we'll go ahead and do Joanne B. before we take our next lineup. Okay, please go ahead, Marilyn T.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, everyone on the line. This is Marilyn T., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. Not recovered, recovering, in Monterey Bay, California. So as I have finished my my new fourth step, it is done, and I will give my fifth step the day after Thanksgiving, which I really think there is no odd, there is always God in this respect, that all of this has come to pass for me. New light has been shined on behaviors, even though I had done a fourth step last April. It's interesting, the layers of the onion that get peeled away on our resentments and the way we live our life and the way we interact with other people. And we are going to make a list of people that we have hurt by our conduct, and we are willing to straighten this out, the past as best we can. And you know what I'm adding for me is, and we will cease to do that behavior. We will ask higher power to remove that character defect, and we will not wish to repeat it. Because of the terrible destructiveness and the fatality and the futility of it all, I'm always amazed when I think of just what a mess I made of my life when left to my own devices, when I really thought I was my own higher power. It just ceases to amaze me, that mess I made. I just can't repeat that enough. And just to realize that I'm given an opportunity every day to act the way my higher power would have me be and do what my higher power would have me do, and make amends and not repeat them, the big thing, and not repeat them. I really thank God, my higher power, for this meeting and the chance to be with all of you and the chance to recover and to become a better person. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you so much. Okay, we've got Joanne B. up next, and then we'll take another lineup. Please go ahead, Joanne.
This is Joanne B. Are you able to hear me all right? I'm traveling.
You know, I hear you okay, but it's helpful if you speak up. Thank you.
Okay, hold on a moment. All right, can you hear me better?
So much better. Thank you, Joanne.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I am Joanne B. from Texas, currently driving through the Bedford, Pennsylvania mountain range. I don't know which mountain range it is. It's beautiful. But I just needed so much to connect with my fellows. And when I listen and I look at this paragraph, and I remember writing my list of all of my resentments and all the ways I've harmed people, and yes, it was very humbling and, as someone said, a blow to see what my behavior did, but at the same time, it was liberating. Once I was able to grieve a little bit. I didn't stay in that, but I was able to. And once I did give that away and learn the rest of what I needed to do and continue doing, there was so much freedom given to me. Even this morning, it was kind of funny because, you know, when I'm not connected with my fellows and with my, programs a little differently as I'm traveling, it's kind of weird. So I'm learning what my program, and I say mine, but it's our program that we're doing, but I'm learning more what it means and what I need to do to stay sober or abstinent. And even in these new situations, but even this morning in the hotel, there was a young boy who needed some assistance, and I offered to help him. And I jokingly said, "I'm a grandmother. May I help you?" And he said, "Yes." And an older gentleman said, "If you were a real grandmother, you would be buying them something or whatever." And he was joking and playing. But, you know, I felt that little tinge of resentment come up. And normally I would have sat on that for a long time and not realized that he was joking. And now with this program, learning how to live life daily, I knew, okay, that isn't really what he meant. That's just my distorted thinking. That's not right, my distorted thinking. And so I'm really grateful for this program. I'm grateful to learn how to take care of those resentments. Sometimes I'm shocked to see that they come back up, and that's kind of funny because I am human. And so I've gotten to learn that I'll never rise above being Joanne. And
gentle reminder.
Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Okay, Joanne, thank you very, very much. So we have time for some more shares. Who would like to comment on the third paragraph on page 70? Begins
Rachel
P. Rachel P. Danielle, I believe I heard.
Daniel P.
Harith.
Okay, Daniel P. Harith.
Harith L.
L. Laura W.
Yes.
And Kathy G, did I hear?
Yes, thanks, Colleen.
Okay. Rachel P., Danielle P., Daniel P., Sarit L., Laura W., and Kathy G. That's our lineup. So please go ahead, Rachel P., and you'll be followed by Daniel. Please go ahead.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. I love this. These words: we learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. And that to me reads compassion, you know, to put that more succinctly. And compassion has been such a huge part of my recovery journey. In my recovery, I wasn't one to kind of lash out at other people and express anger or to be that kind of person. But I was an isolator, and you know, I would frequently like cancel plans on people, and the resentments that I had, I kind of kept them all inside, and that was the reason that I ate. Absolutely. And so to learn that other people are just human and that they're allowed to be human and therefore I'm allowed to be human was huge for my recovery. And I'll share an example. One of my big amends and pieces on my inventory was my dad. He was an abusive, emotionally and verbally abusive addict for years, for the entire time that I was in high school. And he's recovered now. He does drink, but he doesn't use anymore. And we do have a relationship, but I had a lot of resentment against him for what he had done to me. And we had a therapy session together with my therapist, and it was absolutely God's will that this happened, because my therapist asked him, when you were shouting at your daughter, what was going on through your head? And he said, when I saw her, I saw me, and I hated me. And that was so powerful for me to hear. And just that utterance, I keep coming back to that every time that I need to develop compassion for my dad now, because I was able to understand in that moment that he is sick. He is just as sick as me, if not more sick. And it doesn't excuse what he did, but I'm able to understand that he is sick and to be able to have tolerance, patience, and compassion toward him. And I'm really grateful that I had that moment, and I can continue to think in a compassionate way now in recovery towards the people who had harmed me or who I felt had harmed me. And that's all part of this process. And I'm really grateful to be working the steps along with all of you. So thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rachel P. Wow. Okay, Daniel, I believe it's P. Up next, followed by
Sarita. Hi. Yeah, thank you. This is Daniel. It's Daniel C. Actually, I'm in Canada. I'm recovering compulsive eater, and I'm grateful for this meeting and for the shares. It's spurring me to think, reflect a bit more on the inventory that I recently did, And it's the sentence that is hitting me is, we have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. And I just remember a number of years ago when I was really, really sick in this disease, and I was having a lot of sort of unexpected outbursts of anger, and I would break things, and I would call people, I would, have temper tantrums and just really get angry at people, and it was terrible. It was so devastating to find myself unable to control these outbursts of anger, and then really. What I am recognizing is that, I have that tendency to keep my feelings to myself and then let them build up to the point that they break out. And it is, doing this inventory and giving these things away and really opening up to people is freeing. I think it's going to be ongoing for my whole life, this work, but what is freeing is to be empowered to see that that I'm creating all of this myself in my head, and it transforms the way that I see other people, and it just sort of dissipates all of that envy and anger that my whole being is just sort of bogged down in all of this negative stuff. And so, very, very healing. Anyways, that's all I want to say. Thanks. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Daniel C. Thank you for your share. Sharice L., you are up next, and you're followed by Laura W. Please go ahead, Sharice.
Hi, it's Sharice L., recovered compulsive eater in Montreal. And what speaks to me here is the power of the steps that we turn to our side of the street so that we can recover and be of use and help to other people in this world. If I don't look at myself, then I'm going around continuing to be sick and continuing to harm others. And that the harm and the woundedness and the brokenness that I am will continue to affect and damage other people. It's like we say, hurt people, hurt people. And that's my experience. So there's hope for a better life for all those around me when I take the time to recover, to sit and work my steps and recover. And I just noticed so powerfully yesterday how I was extremely exhausted and triggered by my daughter. And I easily broke down into tears when I got resentful. And she was happily jumping on her bed. And it was such a clear, eye-opening opportunity for me to see that when I am disturbed, it is me. It is me. She was completely fine and happily doing whatever she wanted to do. And I got resentful because I was tired. So when I am spiritually fit, these things don't usually trigger me as much. Let's say they may trigger me and I may get resentful, but I was able to clearly see how, you know, maybe not necessarily when I'm tired, but the tired was just an example of perhaps when I am not in fit spiritual condition, it is me that is the one that is disturbed. And it is more radically displayed to me as it is when I'm tired, that it is me who is disturbed. And so it's just clear for me to see that it's my part of the street that needs cleaning. It's not the other person. And the last thing I wanted to mention is that the Big Book does say in one of the stories that there's a bit of worst in the best of us and a bit of good in the worst of us. And that all people are not, you know, they don't wake up in the morning saying, I'm going to hurt Sari today. They're not out to get me. And yet it's me who takes it personally, or it's me who views it the wrong way. And so can I, let others off the hook? Can I stop obsessing, stop being judgmental, and give people some slack and judge the world, you know, not by their actions, but how I would like to be judged, by my intentions. And everyone has, most people have good intentions. They're not out to harm. And that just was very helpful for me as I prayed for that person, but also to help me let go of them, let people go. And that was a big thing for me in my recovery.
And to remind us. Thank you so much, Sharice L. And Laura W., you are up next, and then Kathy G. is going to finish up for today.
Okay, thank you so much, and thank you so much for this meeting. This is Laura W., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in the Santa Cruz area of California. I just love the shares I'm hearing today. They are just so meaningful, as these meetings always are. I just love a vision for you. It's really wonderful. This particular paragraph is just, you know, summing up everything that we've been doing with our fourth step, and what a blessing. What a blessing this was for me. You know, I'm 66 years old. I've done the steps maybe around four times. And this last time through with a vision sponsor, I was able to break through a resentment that I had been carrying around all these years about my mother. And I didn't realize it. My mother was a very sick woman. She suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, and it affected me greatly. And of course, you know, but as I was growing up, I always excused her behavior because she was a sick person, and yet the feelings still came back. They still came back. And I was just looking at that word resent, and of course, we talk about how it just means to feel the pain again, to feel it over and over again. And I just was able to deal with that this last time in my fourth step, and to realize that, yes, I do have a resentment against my mother, and I was able to forgive her and to really come to terms with it. And it made such a difference in my life. And, you know, I am overly sensitive, and I am always, you know, thinking that it's all about me. Somebody says something, oh, it's about me. And so I am learning how to just let it go. And as everyone's been saying, just, you know, just let people go and just live and let live, right? So I'm just so grateful, and thank you so much. I hope everyone has a beautiful Thanksgiving. And yes, it is just another Thursday, or eat like it's another Thursday. I love that. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura G. And our final share for today will be from Kathy G. Please go ahead, Kathy.
Good morning, Elaine. Nice to hear your voice. And good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater, dying to self in Illinois to the best of my ability today. You know, it jumped out at me today that the word begun, we have begun, commenced, and begun. And it struck me that we say that abstinence is but a beginning, and step four, our personal inventory, is yet again another beginning. And it's something that I don't think we ever, you know, finish. It's something that we keep on going through our 10th step, which is really 4 through 9. And we just keep going and going, and we're just seeking to improve. So I've had amazing relational improvement in my life as a result of step four. I've been on a recovery journey for 30 years, and the transformation that I had with my father, you can't write this stuff. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's truly, truly miraculous that my father, not only do we have a good relationship, but he totally respects me. And that's absolutely fascinating from what we came from. And also, I had to miss the gratitude meeting on Sunday because I was singing at church, and I just wanted to let everyone on this line know how deeply grateful I am for Vision for You, all the people on this meeting. It just brings joy to me on a daily basis, and I just wanted to thank all of you. And going into Thanksgiving, I just thought one of the things that's helped me abstinently through the holidays, if you're new and you don't really know what to do, is think to yourself going in, what can I bring to this party? What can I bring to this gathering? Who can I comfort and give my full attention to? Because I'm not going to be so focused on the food. My brain's not going to be messed up from being totally numbed out with sugar. How can I be helpful? How can I bring joy into the party? So just some thoughts as we enter into Thanksgiving and how fortunate we are to be in a grateful state of mind on a daily basis due to recovery. So lots of love to all of you and very, very happy Thanksgiving. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy G. And thank you, everybody who has shared such beautiful shares today. We will now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Laura W. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to us, to you, and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.